listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we welcome and greet all you listeners wherever you are, on the internet, out in the car, listening on the radio, at home listening on the radio. We just welcome you to the program. We hope you get blessed with what you hear. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. And Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stewart. We have for 21 and a half years now, Pastor Donna, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries right here in Stewart, Florida. So we hope you can stay tuned in. We trust you'll be blessed with what you hear, and not because of us, but because we're going to share the Word of God with you. And so we're honored to be here with you. And so hallelujah. Pastor Donna's got a couple things she might want to mention about the church and the services. And then we'll do a little bit of teaching here with you today. And we trust, as we said, that you'll be blessed with what you hear. Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. And people can bear with me and they can keep me in prayer because I have some dental problems that I need to solve. So appreciate that. Amen. I just had an abscess, so getting over that. So
hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank the Lord for the prayers.
Healed and full of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Yes. Amen. So had some swelling, so... Amen. Praise the Lord. God is greater than all our problems. Amen.
Amen.
But He wants us to be whole and healthy and be able to do the work of the Lord. So
that's
here
right.
I am with my husband.
Amen.
Again this week, and we're blessed to be here. And we're going to talk about an awesome prophetess this time today. We're going to cover some important people in the Bible, as we've been doing for the last couple of weeks.
Several weeks, yeah.
And I want to mention that you can also listen to this on the internet.
Amen.
And on WCNO.com, and that is a 24-hour radio program, and also there are podcasts where you can go back and listen to
previous programs,
this program mm-hmm. again, or programs from the weeks or from earlier weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a real blessing for everyone. That was WCNO.com, and that's the radio station here in
Stewart, Florida.
Stewart, Florida. Mm-hmm. Palm City.
Right.
Palm City, Florida. We mm-hmm. are in Stewart, Florida. And the name of this radio broadcast, as you heard, is called Raising the Standard. And that's what God has called us all to do. And so that is our desire to do that. And those who are listening, are we know that they are seeking holiness. And this Sunday, we had a real move of prophetic words about holiness, didn't we, Pastor
sure did.
Gene?
Yeah, we did.
God spoke through the different people. And so many things were said about seeking holiness.
Walking
and
the right way with the Lord.
To do the right things.
Amen.
And even what you shared about from the New Testament, we may even go there today.
Amen.
Because God is calling these people to rise up. You know, Jesus is coming soon. We don't know the day or the hour, but we should know the season. And we've talked about that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Pastor Gene has a whole commentary on that. If you are interested, you can give us a call and we'll send you information on that. Or if you'd like a calendar, this month is already
half over.
We're already gone through the full moon.
It's hard to believe.
And that was called a super moon. Isn't it interesting? We got a super moon 3 months in a row. And then we'll have the first blood, the second blood moon.
Which will be in the first day of Tabernacles.
So God has given us signs in
Amen.
The heavenly.
Sure
so
is.
We had a super moon this month. We'll have one next month and the following month. And then the following month, we will have
the blood moon.
Mm-hmm. And that will be on?
It's on October 8th on our calendar.
October the 8th on our calendar. So you just look for
Jewish
the full
calendar,
moon.
It's what? It's Tishri 15 on the Jewish calendar.
That's right. Tishri 15.
First day of Tabernacles.
First day of Tabernacles.
Right.
Praise the Lord. That's the important time too, isn't it, Pastor Gene?
Yes, sure is.
Well, I want to mention that we have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have at the church, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. That's the name of it. Comes out, the Lord gave that to Pastor Gene. And it comes from the book of Revelation. And it's chapter 19, verse 10. It says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So that is the name that the Lord, when he prayed, see, we need to pray. God gives us answers. When he prayed, God told him that we were to start a church. And he said, oh, no, I don't want to do that, Lord. But God said, so he says, well, he says, told him where and when. And he said, well, then what do you want to name this church? This ministry, and the Lord spoke to him, Spirit of Prophecy Ministry.
I said, well, where'd that name come from?
Yeah, that's what I said when you called me up and told me. I says, where'd that come from? And so then the Lord showed you where it came from. It came to your remembrance. The Bible says he will bring all these things to our remembrance. And so you went to the book of Revelation and you found where the Lord showed you.
Chapter 19, verse 10,
the second part of it. And that's really close. You know, by that time, we'll be in the kingdom, won't we, Pastor
Gene?
That's right.
That's right.
So that's really, we'll be in heaven, actually.
Right.
We won't be in the millennium.
We'll be on honeymoon for 7 years first.
We'll be in that 7 year catching away, or the church, many people call the rapture.
Yeah.
So, if you study, and of course, it's all in the commentary. Pastor Gene has Daniel in there and Revelation and all the dates and the charts. And it's you learn a lot if you want
to. It's all history of all the Jewish roots that God
put. If you want to study.
They're not Jewish roots. They're God's, I should say. They're God's.
The Lord's.
The Lord's appointed times, but he gave it to the Jewish people, yeah.
That's right. He did give it to the Jewish people. He trusted them that
right.
it would all be written down. And
over,
you know,
and over again.
Everything is in here that we need to know.
Amen.
And we can even figure out, because it even tells when somebody was born and when somebody died, and we know all the kings. We know so much. We just need to
put it all together.
We need to study to show ourselves
approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
We'll do it together.
That's right.
A workman that not to be ashamed.
It's an important verse, isn't it? The other Bibles don't say study. They say what? To be diligent.
Diligent.
Big difference between being diligent and studying.
What's the difference?
Well, diligent, you can be diligent about a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
okay? But you can be diligent about studying, but the word is what? In the King James, is study. Study means you're searching the scriptures to see if these mm-hmm. things be so.
So you have to keep looking at it. You don't just read
That's
it
right.
one time. You have to meditate on it, study on it. And I think it talks about in the book of Psalms to muse.
That's right.
Meditate.
That's
you know,
right.
If we meditate on things, and we talked about this Sunday in church, if we pray in the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
You know we're big advocates on being baptized in the Holy Ghost. If we pray in the Holy Ghost and then we get quiet and we seek the Lord, you know, many times the Lord will give us.
He'll speak to us.
He'll speak to us, and He will answer the questions that we are praying about.
That's right.
But we have to seek Him, and we have to talk to Him, and we have to have communion with Him, and intimacy with the Lord. And so that's when the Lord will speak to us, and He always tells us the truth, because it says the Holy Ghost is our teacher. And he always teaches us the truth.
Amen.
He doesn't teach us a lie.
No lies, hallelujah.
No lies. So isn't it interesting, Pastor Gene, that in all these other Bibles, they don't use the word Holy Ghost.
That's right. They don't. They call it the Holy Spirit. Well, we don't have time to teach on that, but
there's a reason why it is the Holy Ghost.
Why the translators put the Holy Spirit versus the Holy Ghost, okay?
That's right.
Because we host God.
We host God.
I'm not going to go any further from
that. We host God.
That's
right. It says the Holy Ghost, host God.
That's right. The Spirit is.
And so when we get born again, we have... The Holy Ghost is given to us. Well, that's what Jesus said would happen. He said he
that's
had to
right.
go back to the Father, and he would send the Holy Ghost
that's right.
to teach us and guide us in all truth. He's our comforter. Praise God. We need a comforter, don't
so
we, especially
going,
these days?
He said he was going to do us with what? With power from on high. Well, then the first time the word Holy Ghost is mentioned in the New Testament is when? In Acts chapter. What's the Holy Ghost we're talking about? About the baptism.
Right.
Is in Acts chapter 2, okay?
And then go read that. It talks about them receiving the Holy Ghost.
That's right. And they all began to speak with other tongues.
And it all happened on Pentecost. That's also in the commentary. So you can get lots of study there. You can get all the feasts of the Lord, the end times, and many other things that Pastor Gene has. And everything is in the King James, and everything has more than one scripture reference. And it's a real complete, thorough course. And it's only $25.
That's right. $3 for shipping and handling.
Hours and years of study.
That's right.
Hours and years of study. And many people are taking this course and they're teaching it in their church. You know, because it doesn't have to be, it can be taught in any church. Amen.
That's right. Sure
that
can.
Believes in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Well, I want to also mention that we have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. And we have Friday night service at 7 p.m. And we have Shabbat on Friday, and then we also spend time seeking God's presence with some Holy Ghost music, amen, Spirit-led music, and then we have communion on Friday as well. Every Friday we have communion, we have Shabbat.
Amen.
Because we believe in the one new man, Jew and Gentile, worshiping together, amen. And we do have classes on Saturday, but during the summer we're taking some time off, so there will not be any classes this Saturday. Amen. But the following Saturday, we will have a
DVD.
A video.
About Israel, hallelujah.
About Israel, amen. We need to be praying for Israel.
We need to support them, yes.
And we need to support them. You know, much of the church does not...
They're going through troubles right now.
Does not hold to the beliefs that...
The Bible says
about Israel.
That's right.
You know, we don't believe in replacement theology.
No such thing is replacement theology.
The church hasn't replaced Israel.
That's right.
And God's going to finish his work with the church and then turn to Israel and finish the work there. Amen.
If you think about that down through history, they've always had anti-Semitism against the Jews. They blamed them for everything. Mm-hmm. But replacement theology was something that came not that long ago. Okay.
That's from the church.
That's
too.
Right. And this was from the church, yeah. And there's no such thing as replacement theology. We have not replaced Israel. We've been grafted into Israel.
We're not Israel.
That's
we're
right.
Not the new Israel. We're grafted in.
We're spiritual Jews is what we
we're
are.
We're spiritual Jews, and the New Testament talks about us being grafted in.
That's right.
And it says, do you think that, I'm going to paraphrase this, because you're grafted in that you can't be taken out?
That's right.
Well, if we're not doing what's right in the Lord's eyes. You know, God sees everything.
Better
God
not
sees
be pride. Everything. He can cut us off too, couldn't he? That's right.
Yes,
he did the Jewish people for a while there.
And so anyone who comes against Israel, they're in a dangerous spot, I would think.
That's right.
Well, I want to mention our telephone number if you want to give us a call. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. And we want to say hello to some of our friends out there. Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island.
And any of their team.
And the Temple of God Church.
And their members.
Amen. And others of you that listen to us on a regular basis, and we just want to bless you, and we want to thank the Lord for you, and for anyone who'd like to contribute to this radio broadcast, just give us a call or send us a love offering. You can send it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995.
Like if you want a copy of what we're going to teach on today, that's all we ask for is a love offering, and you do what
that's
the Lord
it.
Tells you, amen, and you'll be blessed,
that's
and
it.
So will we. Hallelujah.
And remember, you can always go back on your computer and listen to it.
That's right.
And that's free, and so you can enjoy doing that. And most people have a computer nowadays, Pastor Gene,
yeah.
Or your smartphone even, you can listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You know, somebody might be thinking right now, well, this is a strange, for someone's listening for the first time, this just seems like a strange program that a husband and wife are on the same program, and
mm-hmm.
We've had people say that women shouldn't be doing this and women shouldn't be doing that. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, but anyway, it's interesting how this all came about. And it was a man that I listened to way back in 1988 on a TV program for several weeks, and he wrote a book called Rosh Hashanah and the Messianic Kingdom to Come, an incredible book, and I purchased that, and I'll tell you, it just opened my eyes up, and that's when I got real hungry for the things that the Jewish people were given by God. And there's things in the Bible called that the Hebrews calls a sod. It's spelled S-O-D. It's a sod. It means all the scriptures have something hidden down underneath that God wants to reveal about his son. And they're all through the book. And so this is what helped me write this book that we wrote on the pictures of the Messiah. And so this has been going on with me since 1988. And so there should be a hunger for that. And a lot of Christians now are getting hungry for the things that we've been robbed of all these years, because way back with Constantine, they took all this out. They just took all the things out that God gave the Jewish people. You know, he stopped them from sacrificing their offerings that they had. They couldn't circumcise their children. They weren't supposed to read the Torah, all this stuff. And so they changed everything. And so what's happened is the church, for the most part, has been robbed when the universal church came into play. And so we're trying to restore all that, aren't we? But we've had people say, well, you're taking us back under the law. No, we're not taking you back under the law. The Torah is important because it teaches us, it gives us instructions how to walk a holy life with God. It was never intended to bring salvation. It was to teach us how to walk a holy life. How was the salvation to come with even the Old Testament saints? By faith. Trusting
by faith.
God. It's always been by faith.
And one week we need to teach on what many times in the New Testament when it says law, it really means Torah.
Torah.
And so we need to know that, because the Torah is good. Jesus even said, hey, it's good. It's good for us.
That's right.
And but you said it's a strange thing about this program, meaning a man and a woman.
And you and I, but not very common on the radio today.
Not too common. Just like we sit at our partner's desk, I'm facing him, he's facing me. The microphone is right here between us, and you know, we just open our Bibles and we just start sharing what the Lord lays on our heart.
That's right.
Our church is a prophetic church, so we move by the spirit of prophecy, and we move
Amen.
By the Holy Ghost, and we teach and by the Holy Ghost. And so we read the King James Bible, so we can't go wrong there, praise God. So you know, and so when there's many women in the Bible, and because some men and some churches don't think that women should teach, or that they should be in leadership,
or have any kind of ministry of their own,
right, or be a prophet or a prophetess,
right.
You know, they just, many people don't believe in the prophet or the apostle anymore. But you know, God never changed it. It's talked about in the New Testament.
Sure,
I can see where they only talked about it in the Old Testament, but it's in the New Testament. And look at all the women that Jesus had around him. Even look at that example.
They were the ones who stuck with him.
they did stick with him. And
they didn't betray him. You know,
Most of the men ran. You know, but the women they stuck with him to the end. So we're a team. We call ourselves a team ministry.
Sure,
team ministers, and we worked. We complement each other. And so, and we work together. And so sometimes people have a problem with that at first. And because even when we were on the program before, you mostly did, you did it all.
For several years, I did all of it, yeah.
But you know, us doing things together, the more things happen, even in church services, more things happen, you know, because it's a balance. You got to have that team.
It's
not a male thing or a one-man show.
That's right. It's neither male nor female. Amen. God wants both.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Now, what's the Bible say? Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Okay. So mm-hmm. how can mm-hmm. we, when we get married the same way, we have to
That's
walk
right.
together in agreement. So
with the marriage?
The wife's got just as important role in a marriage as a man does. We have different responsibilities, but they're both important, aren't they?
They're both
so
important.
We join it together. So we're going to talk about another lady. You know, we've talked a lot about, we've talked about Ruth before. And Naomi, during the time of Purim, we talked about Esther.
Esther.
And God used so many wonderful women in the Bible. And so here we got a thought today, because some ministers have taken some scriptures in the New Testament and totally butchered them and misinterpreted them, because they didn't really look at the mannerisms, the customs, the things that were going on that particular day when it was said. And certain things you just can't bring in today, you know. And so it's hindered women, and they've been relegated to women's ministry, taking care of the nursery, doing stuff in the kitchen, but they can't stand behind a podium. Well, what a lie that is to the body of Christ. And there's so many wonderful women teaching today that we need to hear from them. They got so much to say. If you listen to my wife here, she's got a lot to say, and she's got a lot to give people if they'll just open their heart and receive it. But some people, when they hear a woman, there's like a curtain goes down, and they don't listen to anything they got to say.
Especially men.
That's
men.
Right. So that's totally
not
wrong.
Not women, but especially
the
men.
The women don't do that. It's the men, yeah.
No, because they have a block, you
That's
know?
Right. And so we're breaking that mold. And there's, you know, there's things that God wants to see changed. The Bible's never changed. It's always been the same from the beginning. You know, Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. It tells in the book of Hebrews.
Thank God you don't have a mold.
Nope,
like
I don't.
That.
I never had a problem with that.
Thank you, Lord.
So I think it's wonderful to talk about what the women have done in the body of Christ.
Eve was a helpmeet.
Sure she was.
God gave her to Adam.
That's right. And I think about Ananias and Sapphira.
They were team
apostles working together, okay? Mm-hmm. Some places, her name is mentioned first, other places his name, but they were a team. They were together. They were working
one
together.
One wasn't more important than the other.
That's right. They both had an aspect.
And we need to remember that. One is not more important than the other, because it says also, there's neither Jew nor Greek, and that scripture over there in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
We're all one in Yeshua. We're
male
all
or
one
female.
In Yeshua. And,
That's right.
And we need to look at the spiritual side, not the physical side.
That's right.
Because, a man doesn't have a more spiritual, what am I going to say? I think women are sometimes more intuitive. They are more intuitive.
They're more in tune to God than men are.
And even
the ones that are born again, honey.
Even the ones that are born again. They're hungry for the things of God.
A lot of men lag behind.
And men are just, I don't know, sometimes it's hard to find a good man that can really pray.
That's right.
That can really stand and pray for more than 2 minutes or 5 minutes.
That's right.
And it's sad, but a woman, she can pray for an hour.
That's
it's
right.
hard to find a man that's going to stand and pray for
to
an
release
hour.
Himself to the Holy Ghost and pray. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
So today,
we're going to talk about Deborah.
A woman by the name of Deborah. Uh-huh. Before we do this, think about this, Pastor Donna.
And it's over in Judges chapter 4.
A couple of weeks ago, we talked about King Josiah.
King. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the high priest at that time was Hilkiah. But the person, when they found the Torah, the person they took it to, of course, was the scribe. And he read it all. But then they had someone they wanted to give the information to give a word to the king. Well, this happened to be a woman by the name of Huldah, a female prophetess.
Right.
Okay, so God used her mightily. And so why doesn't God want to do that today? Because man is thought that God's not doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a lie. And so we want to talk about this woman, Deborah, was incredible. By the way, her name means a bee.
Bee.
She stings and leaves.
Stings like a bee.
That's right.
Well, she was fearless. She had
she
no
sure
fear.
Was.
And we're going to see in this about her life that even the king realized how powerful she was.
Well, let's do this. We're going to take you to the book of Judges. And the main chapter is going to be chapter 4, but I'd like to read a couple of verses out of chapter 3. If you open up your Bibles and you're at
mm-hmm.
home, to Judges chapter 3. And we'll see that it talks about some of these judges that came. And where do I want to go here? Let's just read verse 31. That's the last verse of chapter 3. It says, "And after him, this judge before, his name was Ehud, was now a man by the name of Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." So Israel was delivered at that time and set free. Now we go to chapter 4, and it says, "And the children of Israel again
did evil
in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead." So it was just up and down, up and down.
Every time they get a blessing, then it seems like they do evil, and then they're under the curse again.
That's right.
And isn't that the same today? Have things changed?
Nope.
When we obey the Lord and we follow after the Lord, we're always blessed. But and the Bible tells us if we're going to have blessings or curses. And God doesn't put those curses on us. We allow those curses to come on us because of our disobedience
to God's word. That's
and
right.
If the Bible says that if we're obedient, we'll eat the good of the fat of the land.
We'll have the very best, won't we?
We'll have the very best, and that's what God wants us to have. But some people are in the mire because they choose to be that way,
mm-hmm.
and so they're not going to have the blessings of God on their life.
That's right.
Amen?
So let's go on now. Now, verse 2 says, "And the Lord sold them," who's the them? This is Israel, "into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that
mm-hmm.
reigned in Hazor. The captain," turn my page here, "the captain of whose host was a man by the name of Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord," again, as they always did, "for he had 900 chariots of iron." Listen to that.
That's a lot of chariots.
That's a lot of
iron.
Chariots. And 20,
that's a lot of iron, too.
That's right. "And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel." Now here we go, verse 4.
So they
4.
Finally get fed up.
That's right.
And
they cry out to God.
And that reminds me of people. They finally get to their wits' end, or
yep.
they get fed up, and then they cry out to the Lord.
Yeah.
Why don't we cry out to the Lord right in the beginning and change immediately?
That's right.
But they had to suffer for how many years? 20?
That's right. 21 years.
20 years.
20 years they were oppressed by this man, okay?
Mm, and now Deborah.
Verse 4 says, "And Deborah," remember her name means a bee, She was a prophetess, it says, the wife of Lapidoth. She judged Israel at that time, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah. The tree was even named after her, it looks like, between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment.
Now, let's stop there.
That's right.
Okay. She was under a palm tree.
Uh-huh.
And right there, that palm tree is a picture of strength.
That's right.
And, you know, she was at the gate. So she was at the gate.
Making
tells
decisions,
you where,
yeah.
Between Ramah and Bethel.
And Mount Ephraim.
Mount Ephraim. And so she judged the people there. So, you know, well, they think, some people think, well, only men were allowed to sit in the gate.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not true.
It's not true.
She judged. She was a judge. And for a long time, she was a judge.
Yes, she was.
She sat there in the gate by that palm tree, and she judged the people of Israel. And you know what? She was very highly honored.
She sure was.
And respected. And we're going to find out as we go on that, you know, they came to her for help.
And for decisions and ultimately.
For decisions.
That's
for
right.
Help.
That's right. So then we go to verse 6, and it says, after they came up to her for judgment, verse 6 says, and she sent and called Barak.
Mm-hmm.
Barak. His name means thunder, by the way. The son of Abinoam out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of the Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. So see, he said, I'm not going anywhere if you don't go, because he was trusting in her, wasn't he?
So she had given him the prophetic, she had received the prophetic
That's
word
right.
from the Lord.
Amen.
See, the prophet, let's bring this in today. The prophet brings the word, right?
That's right.
And then he drops the word. The prophet never makes anything happen.
Nope.
No. But the prophet brings the word and drops the word. Well, he knew the word of the Lord, because she even said, somewhere back there, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded,
mm-hmm.
saying, go and draw towards the mouth of Tabor? So he knew, but what did he have? He had fear.
That's right.
Fear will keep us from fulfilling the plan of God on our life, and will keep us from helping others.
That's right.
So now he's trusting her so much that he's not going to go into the battle unless she goes with him. That reminds me, yeah. You know, of a man who's like a little boy who has to have a woman hold his hand.
Yeah.
You know, he was afraid. He was a chicken. He wouldn't go. He says, if thou will go with me, then will I go. But if thou will not go, that's like a crybaby.
That's right.
If you won't go with me, then I will not go. I will not go. You know, he's purposing to disobey the word of the Lord that came from the prophet.
Yeah, Deborah told
came
him.
Came from the prophet.
From the Lord, yeah.
So he's choosing to disobey the word of the Lord that came from the prophetess.
And the prophetess promised that God was going to deliver him into their hands. You know?
And right, because they had given him the prophet, but he didn't trust in the
Lord.
He must not have trusted in the mm-hmm. Lord with all his heart to be able to go into the war, because look, he's facing all these chariots.
That's right.
How many chariots?
Oh, we just read
900 chariots.
900
of iron.
Chariots of iron. Yeah.
And he had to take a large army, but the Lord said he would be with him and that he would win. But you know, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it unless she was going to go along with him.
So that's what he told her right here in verse 8, that if you won't go, I'm not going to go. And then verse 9 says, and she, this is Deborah, said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman.
Of a woman.
Of a woman. And it doesn't happen to be Deborah. It's going to be another woman that God mentions in the Bible.
So it shows us God uses more than one
That's
woman.
That's right. I
and
love
there's
it.
Actually, like we talked about, there was another prophetess we talked about a week or so ago with the king. So here, she's telling him what's going to happen.
That's right.
You're not going to get the glory for this.
That's right. God's going to get it,
and this woman's going to get it.
That's right.
This woman will get it. I'm going to give it to her in the hand of a woman. And
yeah.
Deborah rose and went with Barak
to Kadesh.
To Kadesh. So she willingly went, and she had no fear, because she believed the word of the Lord.
That's right.
See, if a prophet gives a word, he better believe the word of the Lord.
That's right.
Or he better keep his mouth shut.
That's right.
You know, and there are prophets today.
Yeah.
And I am leery sometimes when the Lord gives me a word, especially about some people. You know, I've had some prophetic words about people, about what was going to happen, how different things are going to happen, about babies, about cars, about a lot of different things.
Even colors of cars.
And it happened, you know, and I didn't work it up or you know, try to figure it out. It just comes. You know, when prophecy comes, it just comes.
We're waiting for another one to come to pass, Christmas in July.
Yes, we're waiting for that one. That's a long one.
That's a long
one. That's been a while long. Yeah. So, but you know, nobody needs to know what it is, but you know, it has
we
to
know.
Do with the relationship.
And those people know.
And that was the word. And that those
That's
people
right.
know. But see, it's up to those people who get the word to believe it, to stand on it, and
That's
not
right.
to doubt
and
it.
Not to deviate from
because
it.
Because we have a book that we give out about prophecy. If you get a personal prophecy, you need to write it down.
Learn how to handle it.
You
right.
need to you need to read it, listen to it, meditate on it, muse on it, meditate on it, and believe it.
That's right. And can't make it happen, but just believe it.
And you wait, and then you wait upon God, and God is the one who will bring it to pass. But if you have doubt and unbelief, then you might as well, then that prophecy is not going to go anywhere.
That's right.
Nothing will happen.
Nothing will happen with
Nothing will happen with it.
All right, let's go on now. Verse 10 is where we're at. Mm-hmm. It says, and Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Listen, Deborah's
still
there.
He was obedient to take 10,000.
Yeah. Now Heber, the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent in the plain of Zainaim, which is by Kadesh.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Benoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, here we go again, and all the people that were with him, from Horosheth of the Gentiles unto the river Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, up! For this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. So here's Deborah reinforcing the word that God was given, right?
She said, now.
Now's the time.
Now.
Let's do it.
Now's
Go now.
The time. Not
that's,
tomorrow.
That's
not
right.
next week. Now.
And then,
now.
Then it says in verse 15, and the Lord discomfited Sisera. It means they just brought distinction, or what would I call it?
Defeated,
but also disillusionment between the men of Sisera and all his chariots and all his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. He ran in fear now because Deborah and Barak obeyed what the prophet said, and what the prophet said was going to come to pass. And so what? All these chariots, and the fear came, and Sisera got down out of the chariot, and he ran for his life, didn't he?
Can't you just see all those chariots, 900 of them, is that how many there were? Going every which way, right?
Yeah.
And he gets off of his chariot, and he starts running with his tail between his legs.
That's right.
Well, that's what happens when you listen to the Lord. What if Barak had not taken the 10,000 people? What if he said, well, I'm only going to take 9,000.
That's
or
right.
What if he would have said, well, 10,000 is not enough, I'm going to take 12,000. So that would have been disobeying the word of the Lord. Is we need to stick right to what God says. People need to, this is important, Pastor Gene, people need to do exactly what God says
to
no
do.
More, no less. And he did. He did that. Thank God he did that, you know. I'm sure if he hadn't done that, she would have gotten on him.
That's right. But I'm thinking about something while I'm reading this. There's a book that's a Jewish writing that they found about 150 years ago called the Book of Jasher. It's mentioned in the New Testament or in the Old Testament twice. If you read over there about after Moses died, Joshua took over, and after Joshua was gone, all the wars that they had to go through and everything, and all these nations that were there, they had giants in the land and all this. And so when Israel obeyed what God told them to do, what happened? They always won the battle, no matter how it seemed impossible, but they always won. And it's over and over in the book of Jasher. Now let's go on here. We left it off at verse 15. Now here we go. Verse 16. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. They killed them all. It wasn't enough for Sisera to run. Then they went after him, and they killed them all. Listen to this now.
Amen.
Now, verse 17 says, howbeit, Sisera, he's still
he
running
fled away.
He fled away on his feet to the tent of a lady by the name of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. This is incredible. Let's read on. Now, you read on. Go on
Go
to
ahead.
Verse 18. Go ahead. You want me to read? Okay. And Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her, to the tent, she covered him with a mantle, or with what? With a blanket or like a rug.
Right.
And she said, and he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk. She didn't give him water. She gave him what?
Milk.
Milk.
You know why?
Why? Tell him.
Milk will put you to sleep.
That's right. Milk puts you to sleep. Now listen.
I just got that.
That's what it does. and gave him drink.
And
covered him. And again he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, is there any man here, that thou shalt say no. So he's asking her a lie now.
A lie.
Okay. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, a great big spike,
a big tent nail,
and took a hammer in her hand, and went softly into him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep, what, from his milk, and weary, so he died. So she drove that big nail through both of his temples, on each side of his eyes, all the way through into the ground.
Well, you know what, she had a chance in one blow. You know, when you have one blow, you don't miss it, okay?
That's right.
She put that thing at his temple, and she hit it as hard as she could, and it went right through into the ground.
Into the ground, and killed him.
And so he was stuck to the ground. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. That is bravery.
That's
right. And she,
this happens to be a woman, not a man.
Right, and she wasn't even involved in this battle.
That's right.
But she knew that he was from the enemy. She knew that. She must have known something was going on. So here she is.
That's right.
That's bravery. You know, she was really a brave woman.
So God is honoring this woman for her bravery. That's right.
And this is exactly what Deborah had prophesied.
I told him. That's right.
So Deborah had, God had told her this, and so she spoke it, you know. And, you know, sometimes when you speak something to a king or somebody that's in leadership, maybe, or a leader, mm-hmm. or maybe a pastor or an apostle, you know, if you, some people are afraid to speak the truth.
That's right.
But if it's the word of the Lord, then you best speak the truth, you know, because it might save them from having something bad happen to them. So here she is. She told him what was going to happen, and that a woman would do it, and it came to pass because it was the word of the Lord.
Yeah. So who was the man that was killed? It was Sisera. So look at verse 22 now. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, come, mm-hmm. and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. Isn't that incredible?
That's awesome.
So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Now, you need to read these next few verses.
They destroyed
them. Deborah's
got
to sing a song now, Pastor Donna.
Yes, and prophets do sing.
That's right.
They do sing. A lot of prophets sing. And psalmists sing. David was a
That's
psalmist.
Right.
Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of
Abinadab.
On that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princesses. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praises to the Lord of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out to Seir, is that how you pronounce that?
Mount Seir, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When thou
marchest
out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord of Israel. In the days of Shamar and the son of, I can't pronounce some of these words, Anathoth, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. Wow, do we ever need mothers of Israel? You know, she was some woman. She arose in the mother of Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. These are talking to people. It chose all kinds of gods. Remember they had the high places, and we talked about that last week, how they built high places and they sacrificed their children to these other gods, the god of Moloch and all these other gods. Was there a shield or a spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? She said, my heart is towards the governors of Israel. that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Then she says, speak, ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way, they that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous.
This is good. The righteous acts of the Lord.
Of the Lord. Mm-hmm. There shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts towards the inhabitants of his villages in Israel.
Hallelujah.
Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates.
That's the end of her.
No, the gates are where the judgment
where they meet.
And then she says, awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter
a song.
Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of
Obinim.
Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty.
It's an interesting comment in verse 12, and led thy captivity captive.
We sing a song about
that's
that.
That's right. It's also referred to in Ephesians chapter 4, I believe, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Abimelech.
Amalek.
Yeah. And thee, Benjamin, among thy people, out of
Machir
came down governors. Out of Zebulun, they that handle the pen of the writer. And the princesses of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Baruch. He was sent on foot into the village
in
the valley, for the divisions of Reuben. There was great thoughts of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart.
Mm. Gilead now.
Gilead abode beyond Jordan. And why did Dan remain in ships?
Good.
Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his
breeches.
Do we want to go on?
No, I think that's about it. I seem there was something else I read. Verse 20 says, they fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. So God was on her side. Amen?
God was on her side.
And I like verse 24 down here. Blessed above all women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be blessed. Shall she be above women in the tent. Isn't that incredible?
In the tent.
That's right.
He asked water, and she gave him milk.
And put him to sleep.
She brought forth butter in a lordly dish.
Lordly dish, yeah.
Yeah. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. She even tells you how she did it.
That's right.
She was holding with the left hand, hit with the right hand. And with the hammer, she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples.
Crap.
Wow. At her feet, he bowed, he fell, he lay down. At her feet, he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead.
That's right.
Wow.
A lot of women will bow to God today and lay out on the floor, but a lot of men won't do it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Verse 29. Her wise ladies answered her. Yea, she returned answer to herself. There's a lot in here about women who do mighty works of the Lord.
Here's a verse she left out. Verse 28 says, and the mother of Sisera, the one that was killed, looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? Because he was dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned her wise ladies answered her. Yea, she returned herself to herself. And then verse 30 says, have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey? To every man a damsel or two? To Sisera a prey of divine divers colors, a prey of divers colors of the needlework, of divers colors of needlework on both sides, meet for the necks of them that take the spoil, so that all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest, for 40 years.
For 40 years. And she thought he was going to come back. Going to come back with they were going to have, every man would have a damsel or two, right? Oh, sure, great.
Yeah.
And they would have all these fine things, needleworks and all these things, riches they were going to take from Israel. As if Israel hadn't had enough things taken from them, they were going to take more from them. But wow.
But then you look here at the end, after 40 years they had rest, and you go into chapter 6, verse 1, it says the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian for 7 years. So then they were in captivity again.
They're always fighting somebody. Now the Midians, are they still around today? And are some of these other nations
still around
today?
The spirits are that were behind them, that's right.
You know, spirits don't die, do they?
That's right.
And are all these nations all around Israel even today?
This leads us up to Gideon then, doesn't it, huh? Yeah.
Aren't all these nations around Israel today?
That's right.
Still trying to destroy Israel.
Absolutely.
Trying to take the land, trying to wipe out the Jewish people. That's why the Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Amen.
Now, we know there's really not going to be any true peace until the Prince of Peace returns.
That's right.
Yeshua, Jesus Christ, he's going to return on the Mount of Olives. And at the end of the tribulation, he's not going to return to some other place that has a lot of Jewish people, not like New York City or Miami Beach or wherever else there might be a lot of Jewish people. No, he's going to return to the place from which he left.
That's
right. Because the angel told us, why are you looking up? This same Jesus will come back as
like
you've
manner.
Seen him, in like manner, as you've seen him go in the clouds.
Hallelujah.
And so he left from the Mount of Olives.
That's right.
And so he will return
to the
same place in the Mount of Olives at the end of
Jacob's trouble,
which will be the end of the 7-year tribulation. So why look up? You know, why looking for it? Just be patient and wait on the Lord's going to come when he says he's going to come. He's going to come to the right place. And so because he's going to be coming there, well, you know, all these other nations, who is it that actually blocked the gate, the gate that went into the temple?
The Muslims blocked that gate years ago.
Do you know what which one they were called?
Yeah, it was the Eastern Gate.
I know it was the Eastern Gate, but do you know which one of these nations did we've read about?
Was it the Moabs
or was it this one or that?
Well,
we know they were
probably the Muslims didn't come in and being until around 600 AD.
Combination. And when was that gate blocked? Do you remember the year?
I don't know.
Well, we have to do some research.
Well, it was way after. It was after 600 AD because the Muslims never came into being until that time. And see, they believe in a Mahdi, a Messiah figure that's going to come. And so,
they
know that the Bible says that Yeshua, Jesus, is going to come through the Eastern Gate. So what did they do? They blocked up
the Eastern Gate,
so he wouldn't go through there. And then if you go to Israel now, down that wall, there's a graveyard all along that wall where the Muslims are buried. Well, they forget the Bible talks about an earthquake that's going to split that open, so Jesus will not defile himself when he goes in
there.
He won't be
defiling himself. And it's interesting, when we were in Israel, the most wonderful place that we enjoyed was
the Garden of Gethsemane.
The Garden of Gethsemane.
Incredible
place.
That's
where Jesus probably spent most of his time.
A lot of nights praying.
And during those times, you know, there was a bridge. That went right across
the Kidron Valley.
Because here you've got the garden is on up. I mean,
the Mount of Olives. The bridge went across the Kidron Valley
to
the Eastern Gate.
It's like it's hill.
That's right.
And I don't know. Some people might call it a small mountain, but it's pretty high.
And
there was a bridge that went across. And went right through those arches.
Took them right into the Eastern Gate.
And so Jesus walked right in there. And right above that was the temple. They could see the temple.
That's right.
And so that bridge is not there any longer.
I don't know what year it disappeared, but it was finally torn down.
And
the
gate where they went in, that is blocked.
It's bricked up,
and you can even see where it was bricked up. All you have to do is look at a picture. You can see how they filled in the arches so that no one can go through that gate. And is that going to stop Yeshua?
No. Nope.
Is that going to stop the Prince of Peace?
Nope.
Is that going to stop
the
Lord Jesus from coming back? You know, just like when the prophetic word comes forth, the Bible says what's going to happen. Just like what Deborah said, by the word of the Lord happened. Why can't we realize and believe that all prophecy that's spoken about Yeshua or anything else, you know, that's in the Bible,
will come to pass. Or maybe has already come to pass, but there's some that's going to come to pass in the future too, yeah.
And many things have already come to pass.
Amen, lots of things.
And she prophesied about how many soldiers they would have. She prophesied about when they were to do it. Now, she said.
Now's the time.
She prophesied that he wouldn't get the honor, but a woman would.
A woman would get the honor.
So, and, you
hallelujah.
Know, and she agreed to even go with him. Because she really believed the word of the Lord, where he didn't have total belief unless she was going to be there with him.
And Heber's wife had had a lot of faith, too, because she was the one that had the courage to get that big nail and drive it through Sisera's temples, okay? So there had to be some faith on her part, too, you know?
So what told her to do that? What led her to do that?
That's right.
It had to have been the Lord that led her to do that, and that she wouldn't have any fear. And why did she give him milk instead of water? I mean, he could have gotten angry with her. I told you to give me water, woman. But no, he didn't do anything. He just drank the milk. Put him right to sleep. Maybe she even warmed it for him. Well, I don't think they had refrigeration so much over in those days. So
no,
the milk was probably already warm.
That's right. There's no refrigeration, that's for sure. What do you need to cool it, that's for sure.
You know, God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Don't you see some humor in this? Pastor Gene? God has a sense of humor, and God does things in strange ways. We can't figure God out. And we shouldn't even try to figure God out. We just need to believe the word of the Lord and believe what God says, and we will prosper. The Bible says to believe the prophet, what?
And you shall prosper.
And you shall prosper.
Right.
But if you don't believe the prophet,
you may not prosper.
You won't prosper.
Right. So you better listen to what the prophet
says. You know,
it's either
yes or no. It's not in between. It's not maybe. It's not you hope you'll prosper.
Yeah.
It's that you believe the word of the Lord. You believe what the prophet says or the prophetess says, and you shall prosper. But if we don't, then, you know, don't expect to have miracles. Don't expect to have wonders. You know, your life will go on, and you know, you may just have a miserable life.
Looking at this last verse in this chapter, you think about it.
Which one?
In chapter 5, it says, and the land had rest for 40 years. So after she did this thing, and it got, you can hear it was probably expounded across the whole Israel, what happened with Deborah and all this, and Barak, and so people, you know, she was a judge anyhow, and they really trusted her. So think about it. She was there, and she led and kept the peace in the land for 40 years.
Many years.
For 40 years, it says.
And it's probably a reason.
And a female, no less.
Why? 40 years. 40 years is mentioned many times in the Bible.
Yeah.
Where things happened, they were good for 40 years, you know? And then something bad would happen, you know?
Doesn't say anything at all about Deborah having a husband or anything, more likely she did.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Did it mention it?
Yeah, it mentioned in chapter 4.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh. It does say her husband was. The wife of
Lapidoth. We didn't go over Lapidoth.
Yeah, we read that.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
She judged Israel at that time. So, and then
she was
her husband.
She was married.
She was married?
So here you got a woman also in... she's married, so she has responsibility at home.
Yeah.
She's a judge. She's sitting at the gate. She's by the palm tree, you know.
It's interesting God chose her instead of her husband to be what? A judge in Israel. Wonder why.
Well, she had the calling.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Different people have
had a call.
Different people have different
calling. That's right.
So, you know, you're called to be an apostolic teacher.
Right.
Right? And so you're not a prophet. So, you know,
I prophesy, but I'm not a prophet.
But you prophesy. But, you know, everyone can prophesy.
That's right. You're a prophet.
All these people listening to us, if they're trained to talk and trained, they can prophesy. They can learn to hear the voice of the Lord, and they can prophesy.
Because we can all prophesy.
But not everyone is a prophet. There's
a
difference between being a prophet and prophesying.
That's right.
And a prophet will bring direction, and they'll bring
correction.
Something like this, correction.
A lot of things.
They'll bring a prophecy forth that should happen, that's to happen. And the reason prophecies don't happen is because people aren't obedient to them.
Or they don't believe what they heard.
Or they change it. You know, there's other examples in here where somebody has given a word and the king changed the word. I'm thinking about the one that was supposed to kill a king and he didn't kill him, right?
That's right.
And so that was he lost his he was no longer king because of that. That was Saul, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he was supposed to kill what? That king.
Right.
And he didn't kill the king.
He didn't kill the king.
And so... Because he was disobedient and did what he did. He sacrificed animals and all that, and he wasn't supposed to be doing that.
And he disobeyed.
So what happened? He suffered. He was removed from king, lost his anointing, and it was passed on to King David, okay?
That's right.
And that's exactly what happened, because if he would have obeyed God in everything, Saul might have been okay.
And he even went back crying to Samuel. But, you know, once you've messed up, you've messed up, you know.
Samuel couldn't do one thing for him, though.
Sometimes you can't do anything about it. Well,
that's
once
right.
you've messed up, you've messed up.
That's it.
And so then you just have to ask for the grace and the mercy of the Lord. You know, I'm thinking about in our personal lives to forgive us. And of course, we know that we have an advocate with the Father.
That's right.
Jesus Christ, and our sins can be forgiven. But just because our sins are forgiven doesn't mean that we're going to receive the blessing that we missed. That we may always miss that. What about people who've done something really wrong? They may not have the same ministry, the same anointing. You know, maybe God can't trust them the same way.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that they're not going to be forgiven and go to heaven, though.
Nope. That's Amen. Right. Brian, we thought about this other. We talked about, remember, the prophet that came into town was told to go in one way, drop the mail, and don't go out, come in. Don't go in the same way you came in. Go on out the other way.
That's
right. And then another old prophet that lied to him, convinced him to come to his house and eat and all that. And what happened? The man, he literally lost his physical life because he disobeyed God. So we have to, when God tells us to do something, if we're obedient to that, just like what happened here with Deborah, okay? And if we're obedient to what the Word says, well, what happened? Everything turned out they were blessed.
Better to be obedient.
Than to be disobedient. What does it say? It's better to be what? To better to sacrifice than what? To be disobedient, because it's like being what? When you're disobedient, it's like having, you're almost doing like witchcraft. You're coming against what God's saying for you to do, okay? And so we don't want that to happen at all, do we?
Amen, no.
Well, so the Bible has a lot of clues about things about being obedient to the Word of God. When you disobey, you're bringing a curse upon yourself if you don't do what God asked you to do.
Well, I hope you receive this, and I hope you receive something for today, because there's still prophets in the land today.
And prophetesses.
And prophetess, yes, amen, prophetesses. And so I hope you receive something from this. You know, we should receive something for our daily life every time we read something in the Bible that may have happened, you know, hundreds of years ago, you know. So I just want to bless you guys, and we want to thank you for listening to us. And you can also go back and listen to this again on WCNO.com, or you can order the CD if you'd like that. Or if you'd like to have more information about the church or a calendar, we send those out free of charge. You just give us a call. We'd be glad to send that out to you. It has the Jewish calendar on it, also with the Hebrew calendar, also with the Gregorian calendar.
On top of it.
Amen.
Superimposed,
so you can learn a little bit of Hebrew, and hopefully you'll start to get hungry for some things, some Jewish roots. You know, the Hebrew language is not, it's not dead. It's more alive now than it ever was.
That's right.
So I just want to bless you guys, and we want to thank you for listening to us. I want to let you know that we have services here in Stuart, Florida, on Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And also on Friday at 7 p.m. we have our Shabbat service. So if you'd like to know more information, you can give us a call. We'll let you know how to find us here in Stuart. We're on Cantor Highway in the Monterey Plaza. You can Google it. And I'm going to give you our phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
So I think about this, you know, here's, God's called a lot of women to be prophetesses in the Bible.
Amen.
Well, you know, people today, and the big majority of the church doesn't believe there's even prophets today, let alone a woman to be a prophetess, okay?
That's
but
right.
See, this mold has to be broken, because God's going to use whoever he calls, and if they're willing to be obedient to that, whether male or female, he will use that. And we see it all through the Bible. So God, we thank you for the women that stood up and did the right thing as you called them to accomplish great things, just like Deborah did.
And so thank you for the many women in the church today.
That's right. So as we close this program, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draws nigh closer every single day. And what
Amen.
Do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.